Just want to apologize, colleagues. We were in a 2 o'clock flight that left at 10 to 7, so that was the delay. We were with the GM, I think, in that flight together. That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. We did not plan it to be like that. It just happened to be like that. Hence, we got delayed. Our apologies. And it's not because we undermine you, it's just because of the situation we found ourselves in. Today, colleagues, we are looking at the second quarter performance of the department. That is both financial and non-financial performance of the department. It's good that we are fresh from the annual report briefings and also our assessment and final report that we wrote to the legislature for consideration. It hasn't yet been put before the legislature, but as the time arises, we'll then be able to formally presented, and it is tabled but not yet presented. So when that time comes, then the parliament will then decide whether it approves or disapproves our report. But as of now, we are done with that. The only report that is outstanding is that of the public entities. We will be considering that. I've requested the support staff to look into that. As you can see that we continuing with our researcher, who is the only so far person permanently here with us. We otherwise have our committee assistant, who's today not in. She's not well. Our secretary still not back. She's also not well. I think she's booked off until the 14th, if I'm not mistaken. And we still do not have the content advisor. That position was not filled. We have today Mr. Mbele standing in for the secretary. So he will be taking the notes and making minutes afterwards, so that we can be able also to produce minutes for the committee. But otherwise, we also heard that the minister is not in. There will be the GM, and unfortunately also the DG is not in. I'm told she's not well. Yes, she's not well, she's consulting. So, otherwise we have all other staff here supporting the minister. We have the CFO, we have all relevant people here supporting the DM. So, let me not waste much more time and allow the apologies. Somebody who is not in, except those that have already mentioned. So meaning that you did not receive any written apologies. And Mr. Murray?
Chairperson, Mr. Atkinson just sent me an SMS this morning. He's also on the plane from Johannesburg, so whether there was, I don't know what happened, but he's flying in, so he's coming.
Obviously, on the British Airways, he always on the British Airways. Yeah. I can't attest to that, but I'll take it that he's on his way.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Maybe then proceed. I'll give this opportunity to the GM to present, but I just want to say to our staff, can you be consistent on the agenda? The way we have, we put our agenda is not consistent in a consistent manner. There is a format that was agreed upon, and we should follow that. You know, the one that we used to follow. Thank you. May I hand over to the GM after really welcoming you and hoping that you're settled now and can take us through or introduce the presentation.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. And just to reiterate that we all wanted to be in this meeting, me and the minister needed to split because of certain commitment that she needed to deal with. And the DG, she was very sick from yesterday. She went to the doctor and then came back and then went again. And then they told her, oh, come back. We need to observe you, must come tomorrow again. So that's why she's not here. But we are not, we are going to present our second quarter report. I've got all the members here. Because they were not prepared, to take the whole. No one of them was prepared to take the whole. I needed to give each one. I'll talk to each because I'm familiar with the information. Chair, we are just reminding ourselves that from the past reports that the inside of all that has been used, that has been reported, still say that we're still at 1.9 in terms of the growth. At 1.9, and the new statistic that we have will be in November. And then
let me just sort out this issue. I'm told that the projector is not working.
Yeah, for now someone is doing
that. Follow the hard copy in the meantime? Yes.
So we just want to highlight that in the quarterly survey that I have with this morning, that our unemployment, our unemployment has just declined marginally from 25% to 25.4%. So it has just declined like a little bit. But we are in difficult times in reality. The statistics normally remind me of elections. We work very hard in Ukraine, so many people only to find the percentage changes very slightly. We have had a gain in employment, a net gain in employment of 32,000. But that 32,000 is nothing. We had the slightest movement. And what is interesting is confirmation of the work that we're doing in construction, which is 99,000 of the jobs created between the last quarter and now. We're coming from the construction. And the trade also contributed to 18,000 jobs, which is the highest. Free State, Northern Cape, still are a worrying factor. The highest figure is actually showing the highest number of highest rate of unemployment. We were there last week to do a tariff discussion just around that with the state. We are confident that whatever you have to do is good. We just added some value in it. Limpopo has the lowest unemployment rate, and we understand what is happening. I'm putting to this because it correlates, if you look at it, it correlates on where we've got major activities. So the seeds projects that are in the Pompo, and your mining, and your YouTube, all those projects are actually creating a kind of anything. It's important to know that. We are coming, Chair, to report on this quarter and say what were the efforts that we put by government and also by South Africa in order to change the situation, and we are really changing it, and hope that at the end of the year, we should have a bigger change. We are going to present to the committee a areas of our CPR, where we promise that we are going to do certain things that will assist us to move forward. We want to report to the committee we want to report to the committee that all our 22 KPIs, KPI 1, 15, 17, and 20, we didn't have any target for them for this quarter. So we'll report to the rest of the other 18 KPIs, of which out of them we had 37 targets that were set. And out of those 37 targets, what has happened is that we have in all the KPIs, the 18 KPIs, the KPIs, the rest of the other KPIs, we have achieved what was supposed to be, what was required, and exceeded in some instances. But only in KPI 22, where we set the target and we never met it. That is the offer that we didn't do in the first place. We want to indicate then that out of the areas of work that we have done, 10, in 10 KPIs, we had exceeded the target, and then in 8, we're just on the line. Which means that out of the 37 of our target, we have had 68 targets met, which means we have 32 more met, and then the one that was never met. So we'll go through the KPIs from the beginning and just talk to it. I'll just talk to it, and I'll not get too much into the details of that. On KPI 1, we didn't have any target for KPI 1. But however, we want to indicate that there was some work that was done that made us to achieve what would have said for the next area. So we have achieved one of the targets that was set for the next quarter, and that is with regard to our intervention around the mining value chain and job drivers in the new crops. And what we have done is we have interacted with the ministerial level, with all the legal aspect and other ministries, and to avoid a legal challenge to a new regulation on strike matter. We had reported last night there was a new regulation that was coming up on strike matter and the challenge in court, and we had to have a discussion on the player so that we don't find ourselves in court and waste too much money. And as a result of that discussion, the people who took us to court withdrew. The next one that I want to speak to is the draft report for the president on migrant labor in the Platinum Belt and how it relates to workplace conflict. We have done that in collaboration with trade and industry policy strategies and sociology of web projects, and we then presented that. Mm-hmm. On the KPI 2, we are speaking to coordination, to work of coordinating the outcome for, where we are indicating that all forums that are dealing with outcome for, we did have a meeting to have the relevant inputs from the others, starting from the outcome for the interministerial and also to a cluster. And we also have drafted a discussion document on how infrastructure support inclusive growth and with a view of some trade-offs and opportunities and risks. And in that document, the following came identifies that the provision of key inputs which must be of adequate quality and affordable to both establish and merging enterprise. That was the things that we thought that out of the infrastructure program we would get out of that and it's actually supporting our economic growth. We also have another one that came out of that was the issue around the demand for capital goods demand for capital goods, assimilation of technological innovation, so infrastructure gave us that opportunity to do that. And also the one that we're talking about here on providing a direct investment. On KPI 3, where we talk about strengthening of implementation of new growth paths to achieve the national plan, the national development plan goals for 2030, is that we have participated in a conference on 25 August, where the minister presented, and that conference was of the heads of the commissions, and where we were presenting on the strategic vision of South Africa, and how our domestic economic development can be supported through the effort with infrastructure and industrialization. We focus on the issue of expanding markets to South Africa, and then the presentation also dwelt much also on the issue of our national infrastructure plan. We also have done we have also done terms of reference for the ongoing research of and policy dialogue with the UN Department of Economic and Social Affairs on the financialization of South Africa. And from them, we have focused on three outputs: research on the implication of financialization for jobs and industrialization and inclusive growth; research on infrastructure investment associated with industrial capacity expansion; and research on to identify non-traditional and innovative funding models and mechanisms. And this we believe that it's going to assist us then to fit into a high policy platform that is going to guide us on what are the challenges within this area and how can we guide government in a different approach that we should look at. On KPI 4, we just want to indicate that we have already started some work to agree some work with the national, with the provincial, with the other spheres of government, the provincial, at the provincial level and at the local level. And what we're reporting is that we finished an assessment of the Gauteng, KZN, and Eastern Cape, Free State, and Mpumalanga. We have assessed their provincial APPs to try to check as to whether there is a linkage between what they are doing and what they are, we want to get in terms of our MDP and NDP, and also to just check if their APP will assist us to accelerate growth and also create jobs. And this is what we have found out, to find that the APPs indeed will align the new growth path conceptually, but they were not strong in relation to evidence in relation to the action and the creation of jobs and facilitation of inclusive growth. And we are now developing a partnership approach with provinces, where we interact with the various provinces to visit them at the ministerial level coming out of this outcome. I went to the precinct, as I said, which is going to be reported in the next. But in the previous term, the minister went to Gauteng, and then we interacted with Gauteng, and so out of that interaction, they then agreed that they would jointly launch an incubation hub in this loop, and also together with the private sector initiative, and together with a private sector initiative to support small business. So it's an interesting project that we hope that out of that we'll be able to learn lessons out of. On the KPI 15, 16, 17, which all of them are dealing with a PICC work, we just want to report that we did on KPI 5 that our 18th SIP report, as promised, we have reviewed them in June and presented to reference to cabinet. And we're saying that we also have facilitated the unblocking of water use licenses in Rustenburg and in the Rustenburg bus rapid transport and in the Sandral N4. There are also other areas of which we're still working on with an aim of unlocking them. We have also started the operationalization of the Infrastructure Development Act, including appointing members of the Secretary of the Manconi Council, the President of Council, and in all the assets. We have had a publication of an in-depth report on skills for and through SIPs with the Department of Higher Education through its Council on Skills. And for the KPI 17, we just wanted to indicate that we had a plan that only four forum meetings will be held, but we ended up with many because, as you know, that we had an annual, when presenting an annual report, there were areas of weaknesses that we identified. So they needed persistent meetings that needed to unlock them so that as we enter into the new term, things should roll. So out of that, we ended up with 18 of such meetings, which include PICC meeting, PICC Manco, and if you look at the secretariat, it will be having the largest number of meetings on the unblocking of investment initiatives, we want to report five areas of work that in this quarter we had to go and facilitate an unblock a processing of a potato processing which was destabilized by the search of imports. What has happened is that the item has set a cap in the previous quarter, and the development in this industry created a situation where now the price was higher than the cap that was set, which means that if they were to follow that, they would be working on a loss and would result in a slowdown. So we interacted with the item, and this was resolved, and the cap was revised. The next day, complained with water and electricity cards, and we convened a meeting with the TI and the COCA, and to discuss the challenges, and as a result of that, measures were put in place in the area, including a better policing of hotspots, because this was as a result of a failed attack, which was repeatedly replaced and then still stolen. But out of that discussion, and Nestle was just about to decide that, you know, the better to close down. And out of this discussion, there was an attempt to deal with us. The other one, that 152, is within the phosphate industry that has got to do with phosphate pricing. And it has got to do with prices that nearly got a plant in Palagora also to close down, and 300 jobs be lost there. So in that intervention that the EDD has had, has asked also the competition authority to review, and the jobs were saved. And the Silver Pen company, which is developing a biofuel ethanol in KwaZulu-Natal, they had a challenge with the land issue, and we had to facilitate them that there be an agreement in relation to that, and the lease agreement was signed in September. IGC was mandated by the by the Ministers of Economic Development and Science and Technology to establish a pilot plant for Gigapila, which is a pharmaceutical plant that will produce active pharmaceutical ingredients in major technology advances in South Africa. So the Department of Science and Technology had wanted to test potential for private investment through tender processes. And in that event, there was only one acceptable response. And because of the bidding process was complex, there were delays in the finalizing of it. And in that discussion, IDC was called in. The Department of Science and Technology was engaged, which resulted into the IDC being able to carry out the initiative that they were asked to do. On KPI 10, we're talking about the improvement of efficiency of our DFIs to ensure world-class institutions through strategic guidance in the department. The minister interacted with IGC on a number of occasions as in the beginning of the term, even to guide them in relation to between the issue, the earlier performance in the previous term and now, to begin to guide on those areas that we had weaknesses, especially on them focusing more on facilitation of industrialization and the inclusive jobs, and also incorporating some of the comments that the members in the committee had raised in relation to the ITC. So in these four, we are confident that there's clarity in relation to what must be done. We also completed an evaluation report on the ITC and CIFA funding turnaround times. And we find that CIFA has reduced the turnaround time as compared to 2030. And the average, the second quarter average is 24 days against 10. And, 10 days on the bridging loans, and on the direct lending, it has an average of 48 against the annual target of 20 days. IGC turnaround time was 34 days against the target of 40 days. On the KPI 11, where we look at the expand of level of industrial funding available across government and GFIs. We have completed a baseline on that, and it looks at the funding by IGC, CIFA, NEF, and provincial GFIs. And that was actually completed. And the report found that our industrial funding, including that of the GFIs, was coming to 20 billion. Which is broken down into IGC, CIFA, NEF, and dispersing 12 billion in 2014. And the provincial GFIs then focus on what we find is that they tend to focus on industrial promotion. And the largest amount of money or provision was actually coming from Itala Bank in KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape Development Corporation. The DTI and the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, we got that we find that they have provided 7.6 billion in incentives in various kinds, which will assist those who are actually emerging, because it's not those incentives are paid back small grant to them. We have realized that in the second quarter, IDC funding approval total 2.3 billion, and they dispersed 1.9. And you can see that between the approvals and the disbursement, the gap is closing at more and more. CIFA funding approvals came to 163.7 billion, and the disbursement is 164.9, which means that they are actually moving at a higher rate. On the monitoring and facilitation of the improvement of job impact in industrial funding, is that the minister during this quarter visited, after the work that was done by the administration, of course, visited to see practically the cheap shoes. And the cheap shoes, which is a major shoe factory, and it's led by a woman. And it's a black woman, and it was started in 2004. It's employing 300 people, and it has received support from IDC as well as the production and incentive. So the minister visited this and found it very operational, and it was well managed. And think that it is going to be a sustainable initiative. We have an evaluative report on job created or saved by IDC and CIFA, which was completed and is being processed at the level of at the ministerial level now. The IDC, according to this report, estimate that it will create or save, it created or saved 1,609 jobs, while CIFA estimated a direct jobs impact of 1,115 in the second quarter. The indirect job impact is much larger, but not reliable identified now. The minister also worked closely with the IDC on a report identifying the IDC impact on industrial development using case studies of projects. On key performance area number 14, on the strengthening of the administrative efficiency of the regulatory bodies, is that draft tariff investigation regulations tariff investigation regulation, a meeting was held between the ITEC, the ETI, the EDT to review these drafts and make arrangements, make amendments on the tariffs. So the tariff investigation regulation A meeting was held between the ITEC, the IEDG, to review the draft amendments, the tariff investigation regulations, with the aim of aligning the tariff investigation regulation to the current trade and industrial policy, the new growth path, the SACU, the World Trade Organization. EDD also obtained legal advice from the state law advisors to guide it. Minister participated in the international strategy sessions of the Competition Commission, we want to indicate that the acting deputy commissioners that were staying were appointed during this quarter to get the work to
to strengthen the work of the commission.
On KPI 15 and 16, we're talking about the evaluating and strengthening jobs for inclusive growth and developmental impact on economic regulators as a body, and also the reducing of red tape and unnecessary restrictions on enterprises. So what we have done there on that one is that we have the progress report. We have reported last time that about AFCRI. So a progress report on AFCRI Development Fund was prepared and is being considered at the level of the ministry. The report covered an overview on the emerging farmer training, expenditure so far, and the use of land grant facility for emerging farmers. We, in terms of the 40% discount on storage cost of the emerging farmers, a total of 230 farmers have benefited since April 2014, that's what we found out. It also reviewed assistance support to farmers, including that 14% of the chicken slaughtered by AFCRI are provided by emerging farmers. On KPI 16, we are indicating that the socio-economic impact assessment system is being introduced to ensure that the impact assessment aligns with the national priorities around the inclusive growth, and that EDD conducted a training for the city of Sane. SAIS is a social economic impact assessment system. Socio-economic impact on assessment systems for the city of Sane, Ekurhuleni, and for the city of Sane and Ekurhuleni municipality. The MOU between the city of Sane, EDT, and the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation to implement the socio-economic impact assessment system on the informal trading or street trading bylaws was drafted and signed by the EDG to the KPI 18 speak to the support for local procurement and goods. We put an updated report on the implementation of local procurement accords, and this was utilized in the preparation for the presentation on the implementation of accords to this portfolio committee on the 16th of September. The minister conducted a site visit to Amman, a factory that is seeking to produce anti-theft cabling systems for the state infrastructure program, engage with the management and discuss on how to unblock some of our challenges that are experiencing. On KPI 19 has got to do with the development of the support for the development of green economy and green jobs. So in this case, we have launched a concept of green skills hub in Alexander, with participation of stakeholders. The hub main function would be to provide training and in the identified areas, support and incubate small and medium micro enterprise in the green economy. They also support localization of green economy and develop some center for research and experiment for schools and children. The IDC has committed 5 million for the establishment of the hub. KPI 20, as we've said, we've never had that for this quarter. Only have 21 and 22, which is the enhancement of employment, and also the national sector and workplace economic development partnership to City Social Partnership, and want to report that a substantial assessment of implementation of youth employment accord was prepared, and on that basis, a publication on the success of youth employment accord has been drafted. The minister also addressed Harambe conference, and it was sponsored by the private sector, and then our participation forming part of the effort to communicate to the private sector the core responsibility to increase youth employment and youth empowerment. And on the last one, on 22, we have indicated to the chair that this one, we haven't completed it. Any other way that we see, and that we have now is just like in progress to build up on that. So those are the efforts that we are indicating to the committee, and that these are the things that we promise that we will do, and this is how we've done them. And the impact of them will only be seen at the end of the year when we begin to see whether we are resulting in the change or not. Thank you. Our return hand is
financial. I don't know, my members, do you want to take the same financial report first, or do you have additions to make? Okay. You don't have. Do we want to engage with the non-financial first and then go to the financial, or do you want to first get the financials and then have everything together? What do members say?
And Madam Chair, if I can support the suggestion that we deal with the non-financials first and then the financials.
Come again?
The non-financials first and then the financials.
Okay. What do other members say?
She has to put your suggestion. So you do the non-financials first.
Okay. So can we then engage on the non-financial? Let's thank the GM. I think he's in the ball rolling. He's just joined the department. He has to really keep up with what is happening in the department. I think one is impressed on how he is really working on the issue. Thank you very much, DM, for that presentation. May we then engage? Mr. Atkinson, Dr. Siani, Samare, Bapig Nini, and Mama Matsindi. Can we get into that order? Mr. Atkinson?
Thank you very much, Chair. Just a question for the Minister. At the very end of your presentation on KCR21, you mentioned about the Harambe Conference on Youth that the Minister addressed and participated in that. I was just wondering where that conference was held, because I'd just be interested to know if it was in an area where there were really young people and it was easy accessible to people. So if you could just let us know where that's, what part of the country that conference took part in, would be of interest. And then the second question I wanted to ask was with relation to the Prudential Infrastructure Project that the department manages. And obviously with the challenges that we've had this last weekend with ESCOM, I was just wondering how much work in electricity we're doing as part of that residential infrastructure project, maybe even highlight that aspect, because I think it's becoming a more critical issue if we're going to have any economic development at all. That much focus is given on that. Maybe if you wouldn't mind just giving us a little bit of a little bit of background as to what's being done to develop electricity as part of the residential infrastructure.
Thank you. Mr.
Jan. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And we thank the Deputy Minister for the presentation. We appreciate the good work that is being done there. My first question, Chairperson, is on KPI-1. There is this report that the EDT drafted for the President. I don't know if there is any information that the GM would like to share with us as to what it contains. That is the first question. The second question is on API 4. that this incubation hub initiative that the department has come up with and has been speaking to the provinces. We just want to know whether it is possible for the department to get all the provinces together, perhaps in one workshop and so on, and sell the idea to them all at the same time. Because I heard that the GM was in the Free State, the minister was in Gauteng, that started there. But now if we can wait for them to visit the provinces one by one, it may take rather too long there. And on KPIH, we appreciate the hard work that has been done by the department, especially in relation to the secretariat work that the department is doing for the PICC. This is a work for the department. I know that there are no intentions to give it to anybody else. But I see that the meetings that were held were in excess of what was expected. I just want to check whether there is anything that the department requires just to strengthen the secretariat's performance, or whether the department thinks that everything is okay, but going forward, there could be more of these meetings and so on. I know that both the minister and the deputy, they are very fit. Unlike us, they don't need to lose any weight. We don't have to overwork them, that's what it is. Perhaps we need to hear if there's anything that is required by the department just to strengthen on the secretariat. And on KPI 9, we see that there is this company that requested a loan from the IDC, and there's this action that was taken by ITEC. And in the end, there was an expansion of local productive capacity. But have we got an idea as to how many companies could have benefited from this arrangement, besides the company that that complains? This is in regard to the potato processing industry. And the general question then, we see a national complaint about electricity cuts because of cable theft. We know about the cable theft. GM and Jefferson. We also know that government is doing its best presently to try and do everything to strengthen our capacity at power generation. But at this minute now of load shedding is terrible. There's a challenge about cable theft, fine, but now load shedding has restarted. And many businesses are likely to close because of this. What could be done in the meantime, GM, just to try and slow this thing down? Chairperson, maybe the last question would be on KT15. Yeah, this others will, maybe the second round will ask the others in the second round. On KTI15. We see that 213 farmers have benefited from the upgrade development fund, 213, that is a big number. However, is there any particular target that has been set up? I'll stop there for now, Jefferson.
Thank you very much,
Mr.
Chairman.
Thank you very much, Chair. Deputy Minister, if I can start off with just in the beginning, you have mentioned that in June, the APP tabled in June has only 22 KPIs as opposed to the 34 tabled in March. What is the actual situation? Do you stick to the 34 KPIs, or will you in the future only deal with the 22? And because it seems like there's a huge lot of administration, I think, involved in the different KPIs. And we know that in terms of your I think there's a vacancy rate, and there's a challenge with employment. So how do you, what is the situation there with regards to the KPIs? Because eventually one wants to not go for volume, but he wants to go for quality of information rather than just for volume. So because that is more important to me. Then, on the administration program, you said that target has not been set. Now, I mean, you know, it's probably administration is not, you know, similar to job creation. But if administration is not functioning properly well, then probably none of the other work will eventually deliver the result that you require. What's the reason that you have not said something on administration? And how can one deal with that in going forward? Then what is of great importance to me is as I see the core function, and that is with regards to job creation and job preservation, economic growth. Now, in terms of KPI 1 and some of the others who deals with jobs and the job drivers, the one thing that we don't see and get reported on is on those, and we know that there are certain sectors that are job driving sectors. And I think it's very important that we need to know what is going on in the job driver sectors. Because from that quarterly labor review report, Deputy Minister, that you have quoted, we see the year-on-year change in agriculture was still 7.4% down. And mining is 4.5% up, and manufacturing is still 2.1% down. So those are major job drivers. And I think one would like to know and get information on those areas. What have we done? Have we identified problems? What are the blockages and the problems that were identified and resolved? What are maybe the structural problems that we've got facing going to the future? Is that a permanent problem, or is it something that can be resolved? Is it something linked to the lower GDP, economic state of international BRICS, whatever? So that we just know that there's meat around this bone about employment. The other very critical thing is the National Development Plan. And we don't really see, although you mentioned, you know, there are reports and talk about the National Growth Path in support of the National Development Plan, but you don't really see any positive report on how the National Development Plan objectives of government have been supported or what has been done to really do that. And I think on that regard, one
can more... Can I just interject there, Mr. Mara?
Sure.
I like the question you're asking, but I think, you know, assist us in terms of the areas that you'd want, for instance, the GM to respond on. You're saying the qualitative report.
On
the NDP,
yeah.
Specifically because I want to be sure of what you're saying, and I want the GM to assist us as a committee, because you're asking on behalf of all of us. In which areas, for instance, would you like that kind of a report, either that's on the growth that has been purchased, on the jobs?
Well, I think, Madam Chair, there are two sides to that, which is very important. That one is the jobs, and we know that the National Development Plan makes mention of the sectors, actually, what we have referred to in the previous question, but also in terms of economic growth and stimulation of small business. So it's a bit broader, but I think it's very important that, you know, from an economic development perspective of what are those things being identified as the targets or the objectives within the National Growth Path, but also the National Development Plan. And how that can be supported, and because eventually, you know, everybody talks about that those two policies and say, you know, these are the things that we buy, but this is that will bring out the future. So how do we measure what we do against that? And not just any other thing that we say, you know, we want to present to you. Because eventually you want to bring that and see how does it fit into that and how does it actually support that. That is what I mean by qualitative, and not just say that, you know, we are aware of that, or, you know, we do that, or that kind of thing. And I think that is very important to me. The on the work on KPI 6, I would be very interested to know the work facilitating the unblocking of the, you know, the Rustenburg bus rapid transport and the Sunrail N4. What did the department actually do there? So if you could just relate that to not only mentioning of something that was done, but what actually transpired or what actually was done there? And again, that boils more down to, you know, that politics of parties, you know, this is what is the problem, this is what we have done, this is the end result. And I think that is going to give us a much better picture of not just a lot of paper and reports, but you can actually see, relate that to performance and outcomes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Mr. Kupina.
Thank you very much. I'll join my colleague. The visual work support kids I care, page 15. I think that's really showing my colleagues on the support job station. Now the issue you see that there's an impact on jobs. And I think mine is a very simple one. Impact of the informal, I think I can see that. You can see that there is a kind of assistance that we are doing through IT. This is a good way that we're doing. And lastly, there's the issue of hubs. The green hubs, the same place in Alifanta, I get it there. Now, mine, I'm interested that we also look to the rural side of the area. Maybe it is one of the problems. I wish to encourage that particular one there, that way we seek to try to improve in that particular area. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you,
Mr.
Chairman. Thank you very much, Chair. And let me also welcome the non-financial report from the department. Mine is on three issues. One is KPI 4. I really like to appreciate the department for conducting the assessment. But for interface, maybe the department can share with us when was the assessment done and completed, and also to know when is the department going to finalize other remaining processes that were not assessed, or maybe there's no need for them to be assessed. Maybe they are performing all right. But one just needs to know what's going to happen with the remaining provinces. And two, on the issue of KPA 9 and 6, I don't know. Maybe I take it as 609 Ziafana, but they found very similar. I'm so sorry. I'm happy. Exactly. It comes, KPI 6 says infrastructure project unblocking. 9 says facilitate infrastructure or unblocking. It sounds similar. I don't know. Maybe I need to be clarified and as to what is the difference between these two. And why can't they fall under one KPI if one can classify that, which is 609, as fine. And then on KPI 14, it says the DPI oversees the admin of ITEC. Now, why the police oversight is done by EDG, not DPI? Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Did I hear the last question? Please, sorry, another thing.
The DPI 14,
yes.
It says the DPI oversees the admin of ITEC. But also, the policy oversight is done by EDD. Why not done by DDI? It's done by DDI. But the policy oversight is done by EDD. Why can't the DDI do the policy oversight also?
Okay. I think that one can I just respond to it so that it helps everybody? It was agreed that during the establishment of the department that part of the ITEC work, which is policy formulation, is going to be done by the EDD. And then the implementation is going to be done by the DPI. When we asked questions then, but it was the decision that was arrived at. And because you know, functions are delegated to by the president. You can't question the president on that. I don't think that the DM will be able to, because we did ask that question, but the oversight is done both ways. We're doing the oversight, and the DT, the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry is also doing their part. Hence, the report, I think, is always trying to portray a joint oversight by the ministers, the two ministers, on the ITF website. Even when you look at the report, it's talking to the regulations. They're looking at the regulations together, meaning that the regulatory part of it should be coming obviously from the EDD. That should be the recommendation. But the implementation will be done through the ITF. It's a funny arrangement, but it is like that. And I'm just trying to say, it has been answered before even the DMK come in, so that I rescued him from asking. It is a political, of course, under normal circumstances, political question, under normal circumstances, he's supposed to be responding. But I think we have maybe to look at it in future, discuss it in future. Okay. Babu Zene?
No, thanks, Sarah, and thanks for the presentation by the German Health Department. I just want to comment on the issue of the cable theft, that it was good that the department initiated the meeting by convening COCTA, DTI, ESCO. But I think in the future it must also involve SAPS when we are discussing this matter. Just a comment. Then on page 15, we talk of on 79 was directly created for and the 1315. I think it would be good for us as the committee to know the places where these jobs were created, meaning that in future, in the report, you should get that as well. So that when we talk outside, we say government is doing 1, 2, 3 in KwaZulu-Natal, in Limpopo, in Mpumalanga. Also in page 17 as well, that's the issue that I wanted to raise. Then lastly, there's an issue of the Energy Commission, Acting Commissioners. I just want to find out if these people that are acting are not able to fill this off, because I see the acting all the time. When do you use the contract? Thanks.
Thank you. Babu Sen. Okay, just want to appreciate also the questions we asked. I think I also have a few questions to ask. Again, before you respond, it's just a question that I thought of asking as we're presenting the economic outlook. It's a disturbing phenomenon where, in you know, when you look at the trends in terms of how remittances are played in the whole country, obviously they are towards the rural areas. But Peter should also tell you that there are no jobs created in the rural areas. And when you look at interventions, they are normally done in the urban areas. And that's a quite a disturbing issue that I think needs to be attended to. Because as the Statistician General was reported last week, it is quite clear that our rural provinces are still facing a challenge. And I'm happy that among the assessment, the areas or provinces where you assessed are within the rural areas. I want to support those who say you must give us the synopsis of exactly what's happening in terms of the areas that you've looked into. For instance, they are very, very important in terms of alignment. We're saying they have aligned to basic documents, national documents. But what does that mean in essence?
in actual sense of it. Just want to find out whether, because if they are aligned, we should be seeing also trends changing towards the better, because they align their plans and programs accordingly. But if it's just for compliance sake, and in the actual sense they are not doing that, then it is also disturbing, because it means the situation will be perpetual like that. And it's worrying, because we want to see that kind of change happening in the rural areas. We do understand the support of existing, you know, economically active provinces, but also we want to be creating or building up those that are remaining behind, which are unfortunately the rural areas. And I think there's a lot of potential in most of those rural areas. You know, Northern Cape, Free State, Eastern Cape, yes, we've seen a lot of improvement in terms of initiatives coming from the national government. The SKA, I don't know what impact does it have if really jobs are not improved. Does it mean we still have a challenge of high rate of illiteracy in those areas? Can we talk to those issues so that we then look at the plan as to how are we intending then to assist those provinces in terms of creating a capable, you know, level of literacy in that particular, in those provinces, in a particular province. We've said previously that there's a lot of potential in the Free State, and as one was listening to and also looking at what on the Morning Live, I think, of last week on the premiere of the Free State, it was quite clear that they have grand plans for the province and are very confident on what they can be able to deliver on. But my worry is that always, and last time we went there, I think the GMO, we were not there, but we went to Free State on the first term, and one of the main areas was that we're not supporting enough these provinces. Because when we met with the MEC for economic development in that province, it was clear that they have enough in terms of their growth and development strategy. But national is not really coming in well. Seem to be servicing your national interest areas and not the provincial interest areas. I just want to change to understand to what extent is that changing. I know that you're saying you are meeting, and I support the proposal here that why don't we just meet everybody in one room, have a discussion, have an understanding of where everyone is going to, and then come up later with actual assistance for all of them. You know, you can then be province specific by sending relevant officials, which leads me then to the next question that says, do we even have such officials in the department that can be able to support? And another question that I think it can be unfair, but it's a necessary question that we need to ask, so that we begin to know the state of our readiness as we come with these KPIs, with programs, with projects. Do we have what it takes to really face those? That's the question that one would also want to ask in general. I'm very excited by the head of missions, especially our participation in that regard. But then the issue is, does it mean this was not part of the brief for head of missions in as far as areas that they should be focusing on? Because I thought that was one of their broader areas of competency. And if not, is it now going to form part of, maybe I need to tell you or to indicate, the focus was on expanding markets for South African products as well as accessing technology and capital from abroad. Secondly, it was on infrastructure, but then this heads of mission have to support domestic economic development. I thought that was in their brief. If not, is it going to form part of their assessment or performance? Where the part of how one of the areas where they're going to be assessed in terms of performance, because if that is not done already, it means it's a very urgent matter that they should be dealing with, because if that hasn't been briefed, especially on this very important issue, then something is not going okay. But having been to different missions, countries, and met different heads of missions, I think most of them were up to, you know, to the task in as far as this is concerned, in terms of the briefing that they were giving us. Maybe to also ask, what was the reason or the rationale behind us re-emphasizing this matter or addressing them on this particular matter? Was there any challenge, perhaps, that the minister was even needed to go and assist them on this, or was it just an update so that when we leave here, we leave with the same understanding that the heads of mission was just used as a form of update, not necessarily as something that they are not doing, it's not within their brain. I hope my question is clearly answered. Thank you. I'm also excited that the IGC credit rating is now of a welfare standard. I thought it had reached that long ago. what does this mean in essence, so that we understand what the credit means? Does it mean you can now borrow without anything, you know, in terms of them guarantees required, or is it just as a way of being, it can be utilized internationally, or international countries can now start looking at the IGC with another eye? Because I remember when we were in Brazil, IDC was held at highest in together with the Southern African Development Bank. So just want you to brief us and educate us on this one. What's the importance of this? Why is it so important for us? Okay. The other issue was on the regulations. I think I shouldn't ask it because it was asked already on the other part of it. Yes, let me give you the opportunity to then respond.
Thanks, okay. I will run through the answers contextually. But more information we'll get also from the specialist who are here. The Haram conference was held here in December, the Spear conference set. That's where we have had it. On the ESCOM challenges, how are we dealing with them as PICC? PICC make from time to time as a secretariat, we make assessment of areas, of all major areas of focus. For instance, energy is very high in the agenda. So what we do is we go and assess current projects to indicate where they are, whether we feel that they are, in terms of the reports being received by the department or the cabinet, if there is consistency. And what we do is, if we identify problems and gaps, then interact with the department and also interact with the people that are there to try to just unblock those particular challenges. So, what is it that the PRC did? You have heard that the president of the assessment of the challenges that will be having as we are moving forward, that he then announced that on the green economy we are intensifying work there. So one of the things that we've done also as a secretariat in between that announcement was to check what is it that is blocking the IPPs to be connected into the grid. And then interacted with that, and interacted with ESCOM, interacted with partners. And we then got that alignment of thoughts in terms of fast tracking the processes of the connection of them. Us having, coming up with a process that will make us sooner to have to see that the grids getting connected. So it's that was the kind of interventions that we assist on. In the other one is the fact that even if you do all these sorts of things, you get your project going, you're still going to have a problem with your person because it's a matter of the fact that even what we are having now still need a lot of maintenance. And that's when we said, if Quebec is doing it, so why should we book Cape Town? If Quebec is doing it, why should we not have another Quebec? So why should we not have a nuclear? All aspects are showing that you really need an alternative. We know that in South Africa we said we have it as a last resort, but the last resort is now. We have to have it and get it fast-tracked so that we don't have a problem. So that's those are the kind of intervention that the PRCC would assist in dealing with. The current state of load shedding that we're having, we can see that now we're beginning to hit exactly what we're hearing on the various plans that have been saying and running all the time, that we're not over time, many years we're not maintaining. So that was the recognition in our group is when maybe and now it has collapsed this week. So it shows you that in as much as you've got a commission and revamp here and there to get the electricity to go, a major investment in the maintenance of that will still catch up with you. So those are things that are actually coming up now. So, but it's work that is being, it's work that is being done in all these areas, whether it's a new infrastructure, an old infrastructure, whether it's in the green economy, whether it's in your youth, there's work that is being fast tracked in those areas. So on the issue around the migrants, some of the discussions we were around that are also looking at, do we have any other alternative that we haven't looked at? That's what now government is looking at. Is there any other alternative that when we do the long-term, medium-term, long-term processes, is there any other thing that we've forgotten? Anything that we know that another country is handling it in a different form. So those options are looked at in the various areas. China with their package plan that we put in a village or in a town or in a suburb. All those opportunities are being looked at the current form. But one challenge would probably have is all those, if you want to shorten their time, it means that you might have to strain your budget. And you might have to look for other alternatives than your land budget. And the electricity is in the interest of the private sector that we look for. So might attract it to it. Maybe in the near future, as a base infrastructure has been improved, it will be more interesting. Let's move on the issue of the migrants.
Is the rebate system working to encourage people to use alternative energy? Because, yes, the Matuba issue, we had a serious problem during the weekend. But the issue is, are we still encouraging people on alternative energy while we revamping our infrastructure and looking at all those issues, so that we are able to understand what is what do municipalities say in terms of encouraging people. Are we still following on that?
Yes, there is work that is done on that. We are following on that one up. But one of the major things that has actually come up in the assessment of that work is that there are areas where they are, you want to put in the energy in the grid, but you don't have the infrastructure to connect it. So those are the things that are fast tracked from the ESCOM side. ESCOM has actually put a very nice thing in terms of how to respond to those areas where there's energy, where people are initiating, and they can actually put the energy into the grid. So they are that. On the migrant the assessment on migrant labour issue that are coming out of there is it has pointed out in some of the things that we have known that you have a home somewhere and in somewhere else in another place. You have to maintain this home and you have to maintain that, and in terms of your income, that's got a bearing on you renting this item. The issue of an allowance also came out in relation to you've got an allowance, but you've got this allowance, which home are you paying? Are you going to pay here or you are going to pay there? Those are now coming, they eventually come out to show that it's that kind of thing. The other method that will come out of those, which I think when the report has been looked at, we'll come back and bring the whole picture on it. I'm just highlighting things that are like of it. It's in relation to to issues of cost of transport and movement from home to there. It's having an impact. The issues on the charter commitments and social labour plans, that when the mining is supposed to do a social labour plan in terms of the license, they are supposed to do around the area and also in the labour sending. So those are the areas that we're beginning to put out that there isn't been enough that they've actually been done in terms of the labour sending. And that's why the formation of the special IMC to deal with those particular aspects. So those are like highlights of issues that are coming up. But when the report, when we finish processing the report, we'll come here and present what are the issues that are, highlight the issues that are there. They have in Uganda, the initiative of a hub is when you work together with the particular sphere of government, and they say as you work at that, and the energies that are being harnessed there, and also assist in the government. What we have seen is that Gauteng has become very active in terms of coming up with solutions on the local economy and also on the township, especially on the township communications. KZN is stronger in terms of dealing with the rural municipality. So when you assist in accordance to that particular strength, but share them within your index. When you come together in the index, you share these practices, and then provinces are going to pick up on some of those best practices. They then pick up the ones that they want us to go and work with them, and then get to assist them in working closely with them. You will see that in the system they have decided to put a hub on that's related to milk and agricultural. They want to put a hub on dealing with milk and dairy farming. Dairy products. So it's another one that we entered with them on in relation to. Yeah. So they had put in milk only, and said, but when you got milk, you can't just sell it, or you can't look at distributing milk. What happened to the others? Should we not look at other cheese and stuff and other milk products? So is that kind of work that we normally like work together on? Then the KPI 18, on the do we need an additional strength as a secretariat at the current moment with the work that I have? The secretariat is on off two ministers, and then we've got deputy ministers that come from the various areas that they sit within that committee. So when a need arises for the secretariat to deal with that, we then put in also agencies, ITC, and so that's how we work. The work is so much, but the working with the DPSA, your ITCs, your CASA, all the agencies have got their responsibility in relation to particular work that we must do. They're usually allocated to different seats to coordinate DPSA, your CASA, your ITC. So they've got each one of them have got a particular area that they are looking at. So when there's work that's supposed to be done, then you actually pull that the capacity and go into, including CIR also things. So we do pull even in the department also here, because when you go there, you also say, hey, well, maybe realize this weakness can work on together with this other agency, mainly people that you're working with there. So currently, I mean, the secretariat is able to carry out this way. But at the level of a department, the discussion with the committee members have faced like, in terms of us strengthening the department, taking our organogram in place, and helping it, is the work that is actually happening. The minister sees that meeting that we have. Almost every day or every week there's a discussion on what the next step on it and the belief that we could be in on the potatoes processing, are there other industries that have benefited just out of the unlocking of this? There should be others, well, because once you unlock something that is related to this one, all other related ones will do that. But we haven't yet taken a stock of. I think it's something that we can look at to just check who are the others that also benefited out of this kind of life. Because if you use one, you're actually using it as an example that shows you that there's a weakness in your system. So I think what we'll do is to take share of these particular arrangements. What is the impact of what we've done, which I think we would be into that. KPI 6, what did we do on the issues of on the KPI, on the ones on 32 KPIs by or cables that's what I know it jumped ago. On the cables that yes, we agree that the SAPS involvement is important, and these other departments like COPTA, there's a continuous discussion around the justice cluster. So essentially a member that keeps on being brought in to which is canvassing that they can be reclassified. So the justice system is involved in these. They are involved in that. The 22 versus 34, no, what they're saying is that when we did the first one, we put in 34, and I agree with the exactly that the issues of volume and quality is issues that we have actually considered. That when we had an opportunity And when the new term started, it was when we put it at 34, it was before the new term. When the new term started and definitions were done, we got now new other realignment, like a new department of business development. So it is an opportunity to relook and say, based on what we've seen when we analyze the annual, our annual performance, what has happened to, what is it that we can do to improve on the things that we've done and taking advantage of this opportunity that we've given. So when we drop them from 34 to 30 to 22, we're based on making sure that they are of value, of quality. And they will still be continuing to review them for the following year. If they are not really, if they are areas that are still weak.
Is it the legacy of the new DM?
No. The legacy of this community is a response to questions that they have been, in most cases, raising around our report. Most of them were coming from the. Why are we not putting targets on administration? We are not. We focus on the outcome, because in most cases we have seen that we get mostly trapped into the administration targets, and we think that we're doing very well, and we find that at the end we just have to. So we said we must put on the targets, but however, what happens in the in our internal arrangement, because it is, we just said that we should not put it in an external target, because we don't think that the committee is interested in the is interested in the what is it that we're doing that impact on the society. But also we know that they want as we do that, that they want us to do it in an efficient manner and ensure that we're following the laws correctly. So what we do in each and every meeting is that we talk about all these things, and then the managers are made to comment also on how the administrative support has been assisting them to do the work. So when you pick up a challenge, then that the evaluation can deal with it across the work. We also allow those that are supporting to indicate on each one of us what are the weaknesses that we are creating for the work to actually be done right. I know that 3 months ago, a CFO was sitting on me and said, "You actually went into an activity that you didn't indicate to us. Come back and tell us after. It's not a prudent way of doing it." So it's those kind of aspects that when you deal with administrative matters, it's in relation to the work that we do, how we frustrate how the support actually frustrates the system. And in relation to the number of issues, we also look at the number of issues that the AG would have raised at that time. Are we in the right track? So we didn't put them as because we thought that we'll end up bringing all those, because there are so many. And I think that, we end up in the committee discussing them and then postpone the meeting on the basis of that, and we haven't gone into it. So that's what we canvassed earlier on. The job, we do an assessment of that. The only thing we just highlighted today those areas, but normally when the report, in the next month when the full report comes out, you will see that in our next report we take time to just highlight on all the issues the various areas that we have. There hasn't been, the reason why we didn't talk about mining, there hasn't been any change since the last discussion that we had. Even the causes, haven't been any change in the causes. But what we can say is that yes, currently as we would report, there's a lot of work that is being done at the various departmental level, at the cluster, and also the presidents. I think you have seen a number of meetings that I actually had with presidents and the ministries, in relation to unlocking some of the things that they have come to.
I just need to say that in as much as the agriculture employment is going on now, that the interest in the what is the greater potential? I can actually exploit more, essentially export more and create more jobs in that area, and also during in the production phase create more jobs because we have a better. I must indicate that in relation to the agriculture, the land and the Department of Agriculture and Fisheries, they are things that they are waiting on to trigger the production of the production in agriculture. We are looking highly and on that outcome at the end. What is it that we'll be able to control maybe in the future? On the NDP, on the outcomes, why we focus on the NDP is because the NDP is on the economy, right on the spot, really pushing the economy. And when dealing with the growth and job drivers, you can't deal with them outside the retirement for that. We have got a discussion now around the issue of the mineral beneficiaries. The discussion is very beneficiaries. And I'm also saying that a certain important is coming. The question that comes in is who is this one that is going to be beneficiary? And not ourselves in this life. We have we have people that are prepared for that skill. So it tells you that now you must go into your CSAT, you must go into vocational education, so you question into formal education and address that problem. And for long term, you must also influence the basic education to create a particular attitude. And there are calls on basic education and the interaction. So if you look at them holistically, we actually see the things. You guys, and you can say the health of the society is important. So all these other projects that we have, all hospitals and we're discussing the infrastructure around and the clinics and all these stones are placing us together into that. The other matters, whether the relationship between the worker and the industrial relationship, what is it that is supposed to be? Is it the law? Is it what is that dialogue between us to adopt those kind of things? So it's a relation. Now we're talking about energy. Energy is part of the key issue that is embracing the energy that we must follow. If you don't follow, if you don't anything on it, one of the things. So those are, I just wanted to realize that, and the decision to say small business development on the side, because it gets louder in other things. It's also another focus of the NDP, the NDP says to measure how the development potential will be unleashed by small business by home industries and all those. So those are the things that we hope that this will be taken care of. KPIs is in on the what was done on the Russian Bay. There are a number of projects that are there in the country. Some of them are not moving on because of very small things that can resolve in a disposed basis of time. And there's a number of them that has been which has been linked with the issue of water resources. A number of them have been unlocked, including this one, even here in the Cape Town, that had a big problem in the terms of water licensing at that time. And it had to be resolved. So this number of them, this one that we're mentioning, what I'm saying that they have had with these reports. But it's a number that following up one on the UP, another one in the Eastern Cape, there are a number of projects that achieved that and the Minister of Water, the Sanitation Association is helping us a lot to take that list and look and follow them up. That's what we have mentioned, why it is mentioned like that. Well, the issue of Alexander, I think I have spoken to them. is the provincial assessment. The whole of this is the provincial assessment. You are the first province with the provincial assessment. And I want to see the next question. The things that are coming out of the situation is the alignment of this is what we'll do in terms of industrial parts in the look. So you don't have that change. You have it aligned like you can say the chair thing that we are complying. You can say yes, kind of complying. We have also have our BGP in the story. But when you break into it, it enables it. Okay, so that's what we want to do in the morning. So after the assessment of the, that's why we go there. The year is still at your time, 15 to 15 years, the last time, you say, that you have a one to put a textile harbor and one to put a red in there, the next, and the next is there. And the fact, the issue is, you don't have the details for industry, who is affected. Your community service with a high time development of this year. What are these things that are doing? You only see sometimes only the tier size funds coming in. But you don't see the trend on where the source of the energy is. So those are things that you I want to just enter into the other dimension of the issue. When we're in the somebody who has registered an idea and into our national GRI. And it's a good idea and it's also going to be out into it. It mustn't be left to stay there. It must, yes, it must be approved and given to that, but it must be both there to help us from the provincial sector. But you said they must work on how they want to move. Because sometimes they have both of us from the province of Alaska. So we said they must put in funding right which we find it. And we share the ideas that we share with us.
Can I just follow up on that, Jim? I know the time is okay. You know, last time we were told, and while I think one was searching to the required that all provinces should provide them with one project. And project we identified, I remember in the Northwest, we had to do the farming shop, I think it was around the cow, Kunika, yes. And he or provincial development agencies that are not talking to the national development and financial agencies. So when you say they are going to be streamlining or aligning in terms of finding how they channel funds to projects, is it in that regard or is it on another approach that you can have?
No, it's within that they are streamlining because that weakness came out. After that discussion, and if you look at the budget, you realize that even then, we say, so for that one, we have funded. When someone says, I funded up to here, we have a problem. And if someone says, no, I'll just fund it. So we said, okay, can we see them as just aligned with initiatives that are there, hold them together, stay home, for the first time, the problem is going to open a number of service points. Most of the area should not just be for the core, it's a service area for all of us. So the decision that I might be able to say, oh, here is what we are ready, we can say, I think it is and yourself, the DS, as we will continue to try, sit down and look at these events and then carry them out of the team, you know that who is a person to give you one. So we are starting a lot of business of alignment. So that's what it is. For the contract of the commission,
is what I was referring to earlier on, that when we do that work, all these things were not what we are seeing, is that we didn't look at the situation that we have and set up processes to say, the unemployment, and these are the areas of job, areas that are going to provide us with jobs, and we know that this is what it's going to give us. But we are sure that if we assist them, if we assist those policies, they will be able to make a bit of a change in the support was spoken to the head of the issue, not the rationale behind, yes, the chair. It was an update, but it was also the fact that we have got new members. And we also have the same situation that we're having in the country, where we say we all have the same thinking around how we respond to the NGP and how we respond to the NGP. Can we really define, can we really hear where the emphasis is? So when we're coming here, because for that purpose, these are the focuses that we're going in, that they would like to sustain us in the following months.
What I want to know is there an assessment? Was that is there going to be an assessment regarding
that? Yes, I would not say now whether it's something that I should check whether in the assessment of the tech or commission is also included. I think the part used to be your performance in relation to the interest of the country, the interest of the country is quite defined. The credit rating of RGC, vice versa. The credit rating of RGC, it's important and also within the context that a number of our other agencies will actually write up negatively, like the IGC and Transnet, which allows you space to play within the issue that we are in, which has changed once or any more from outside. Whether we would like to the IGC to follow, or would like to the IGC to enter into other agreements in other countries, is something that could be but it does give us that. Especially of this regional project that are coming in our channel, that is doing a lot of funding and they're running all over. They may even pick out
I know that it's almost impossible to can be able to mail or to count the number of jobs that you create in time. It's not possible because jobs are created from different angles and so on. But I think as far as the IGC and CIPA are concerned, we should be able to get a figure from the IGC, from CIPA, to say in this particular period we're able to create this number of jobs, because I think it's a requirement in the application form. You need to indicate how many jobs you're going to create when you ask for a loan. Secondly, I think they have an internal system in the EDD where, I mean the IGC, where they play oversight on all the companies to see if they are complying and so on. So I think IGC and CIFA should not say the estimates of the jobs. We can get estimates from elsewhere, but I think we need to insist that IGC and CIFA should give us a direct number. Secondly, we just want to be educated today, Jackson. I see when I write the acronym IGC, it's a big bulldog IGC. And then when I see first IGC, we want to understand that. And finally, when we were at the workshop, we had asked for a list of all the acronyms. I know it's late today, but when we came back from the workshop, I think a week or two thereafter, there was a presentation that was made here, which had a list of all those acronyms. It's late now, better late than never. So we just want to thank the department for having provided that to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. yeah, I just want to write a note, but also not for noting. It's whether the credit rating as it stands now of the IPC, will the SOEs also utilize IDC as a funder and start investing internally than outside? I'm saying this because I know Transnet has just borrowed 150 billion from one bank in the USA. That is not regarded as much if newspaper news are something that we could be following through. Not that regarded to be performing well in that country, but the fact that Transnet is able to raise funds through that bank, it's just as something to ask. Can that at least be done through our development institutions, financing development institutions, and taking it somewhere else? I know we have to also improve on our international rating, but charity begins at home.
The IDC has a capital base of 130 billion rand. So the money it has is not huge in the scheme of things. And therefore, even when they do, the mandate is industrial loans, but they can be state-owned enterprises that do have industrialization. But what they used to do is that when they got huge loans delivered, they would share the loan with other financial institutions so that they can use their internal resources first. So when it comes to big projects, the IDC usually doesn't go along, because you have to protect that capital base. And then the other thing is that while we've got this credit rating, there's an enticement to borrow from abroad. And with the exchange rate risk, IDC has to first look internally so that you balance that risk. So I think they've got a ratio. They borrow no more than about 20% from abroad, and they borrow the risk internally.
What I wanted to ask where the country increases that capital base. That's the intention of the question. Because you could, even not focusing only on IDC, we have Southern African Development Bank, for example, that we can also utilize. I'm not sure of their capital base, but at least it's something that
The way the IDC is structured is that the money that they lend out is generated from the dividends that it receives, the shareholding that it invested, firstly, and second, the return for what you said. Their gearing is about 30%, which means that they borrow 30% of the total funds that they allocate. If they increase this gearing and they start borrowing more and bring that higher than about 50%, then the interest cost becomes a burden on the profitability.
I'm not focusing on borrowing. I'm focusing on investment more than borrowing. I know borrowing we can go out, but investment is something that can be spread around locally. That's where my question was leading to. So that we are able also to grow these institutions to the required level. And as we grow, we are able also to entice foreign investment into the country, further foreign investment than we are doing. We are a very critical player in the region, and we are becoming to be a force to be reckoned with internationally. Hence, we have such good performing institutions like IDC and Transnet. But my worry was that Transnet is going to a non-entity financier, leaving very good financials internally. I don't know what's the basis for that, because I'm not a financial expert, too financial or economic person. I was asking so that they can be able to understand what the newspapers are saying and be educated around that. So that why can't we do it internally? You've explained already that in terms of what the capacity of the IDC is not possible. But what about the capacity of other institutions jointly together with that of IDC? Can they handle such before we can even go out externally? That was the basis for my question. The question is for the light, but also something for noting. Maybe you can think of it in later on.
Maybe just something around the NDP. The next 5 years from 2014 until 2019, in terms of the MTSF has been from all the outcomes up until outcome 14, Your first step was implementation of the NDP. So there is a clear alignment in terms of what government needs to do towards achieving the NDP objectives. But all those plans for the current process are in the MTSF. That's what's
happening.
Okay.
And thanks for that information. I think it helps Mr. Marek to really understand even better issues. Mr. Marek?
One question is what alternative energy areas are we looking at? IDC has approved in excess for 12 billion rand in loan for renewable energy, 11 billion rand in the Northern Cape, in the Eastern Cape, 1.6 billion rand in the Western Cape, 400 million rand in the Northwest, about 100 million rand. The other question was specific to water licenses for two projects. If there's an infrastructure project that doesn't have EIA or water license, we can't have that project. And therefore, the EDD technical team of PICC then works with Water Affairs and ensure that we get those water licenses. And that's quite a complicated process. Long negotiations have to take place in most cases. There's a question of the difference between KPI6 and KPI9. KPI6 on unblocking only deals with infrastructure unblocking. KPI9, everything else. There might be a complaint about the IGT, there might be an ICAT issue, there might be a municipal issue, and so on. So we just divide that issue.
I think the context in which the question around the alternative energy was not understood. It was on the basis of commitment from various as to whether are we able to quantify what we have done thus far in terms of rebates and everything that ECOM was supposed to be done. Mm-hmm. And that would quantify performance in terms of alternative, energy issues. Mm-hmm. That was the context I wanted you to respond to, because if that's not done, because I remember there was a process when the scientists had to indicate, for instance, as to in my municipality, whether it matters or whether it's a local municipality, so many people have moved from, the normal grid to an alternative one. And this is how much they saved through that. Every municipality had a target, for instance, that they had set for themselves. And we have been able to follow that and begin to be saying to us, these are the areas or the things that the municipalities are doing, even the provinces have committed to towards saving, towards moving towards alternative energy issues. That's the context. If we hadn't done that work, I don't know whether are we, if we talk green economy also, we cannot just stop, not report on such issues, because we need to track our performance, our compliance in as far as that's concerned. Okay.
No, sir,
I
do you want to
discuss my addition?
Yeah.
Okay. Good, thank you, Chairperson. Just a small addition, there was a question about the increase in the tariffs in the potential industry, and there was a specific question about how many companies, and I would like just to make an addition to say the companies that actually also benefited from that increase in the duty were MAK, Lambert-based foods, and Nature Chelsea products. These are territorial processing companies, and McCain is known as one of the biggest companies in South Africa that produces processed vegetables and packaged vegetables.
No, sir, I'd like to say only one for the rebates, but I think it's something that we look at, but that's what is to check on the work that has been done. I know that this work that has been done in relation to that, because there was a report that was saying most of the presentations were more on the changing of bars, if we can something like that. on the one connecting to the grid, the weakness was that the one that I was talking to. Those areas where we've got grid, they did connect. But there are other areas where they are away from the grid.
But it's quite expensive, you know.
Yes,
it's very expensive. Mm-hmm. Maybe you need also to talk to how do you assist not only the poorest of the poor, but also the middle, you know, in terms of conversion, because the conversion can be quite tedious. If we are to discuss economic development issues, really, we have to outside small, medium, enterprise development. We have to have more time. And maybe it's the committee that really needs to, we must begin to apportion time according to various topics and areas that we want to pursue in every meeting so that we can be able to make progress. But the challenge is that we have to deal with many issues, you know, that talk economic development. At the same time, we have to look at time provided for us, which is unfortunately two things that are not in congruence. So we have to work out mechanisms or ways of making sure that while we're discussing many issues related, we also can be able to streamline those issues according to the impact that we want to make. I'm aware that we have no time really left. We're supposed to be finishing April 1. We were given permission to work until 1 o'clock. We want to hear the report on the financials. We want to do justice to the financials. Can you talk to me? Just want to find out the DM and you, I want your attention too. Okay, I just want to find out, on the 11th, are you still available or are you going to stop?
Chairman, on the 11th, we are going to select committee. The meeting starts at 10. And it's for the annual report briefing.
So you won't be appearing before SCOPA?
SCOPA, we are going, SCOA. SCOA is on Wednesday the 12th.
On the appropriation of the score, not of the score.
Yeah.
Okay. And we wanted you to have given us that report before you were going to score, so that you are able to understand why, you know, those challenges that you have.
Chairperson, if I may, the presentation to SCOA should be submitted on Thursday. We could submit it to the portfolio committee as well, as we submit the presentation about to
SCOA. I was trying to find time, appropriate time for you to be able to brief us before you go to the appropriation committee. Because the very same concerns they have are the concerns that we have, and some of them, if I may say so, you've really assured us that there's nothing wrong, but I'm worried that given the score has identified the issues. So, and we're supposed to deal with financials now, where you were going to be able to ask the questions, and I'm really thinking that you're not going to do justice. Maybe we should try that that we won't have time to do that before then. Maybe we should allow you so that you are able to look into that.
Okay.
Yes. How long will the presentation take? Cancel. What's your number, sir? What's your phone? We continue now. Okay, thank you. Please talk to it.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Chairperson and honorable members. The report that we're talking to for the second quarter was just from September. We had anticipated to spend 167 million or 168 million. We could only spend 167 million of that, which is 94% of the total allocation. The 167 that we had hoped to spend in, for the quarter PAD program is depicted on the slide. Don't have a projection on the next slide. Administration, we had hoped to spend 18.8 million. We spent 19 million. We overspent 450,000. Economic policy development, we had hoped to spend 5.2 million. We spent half of just below half of that. We spent 2.6 million. Planning and coordination baseline. I have split planning and coordination into two. The one portion is transferred to entities, and the first portion is our plan for operations within the department, which is 11.3 million. We spent 4.4. Economic planning transfers. We transferred everything that needed to be transferred in the quarter. Socioeconomic development and social dialogue. We hope to spend 3.7. We spent 2.1. The net surplus that we have for the quarter is 10.6 million. The same spending pattern, but this time according to economic classification, compensation of employees, we had hoped to spend 26 million or 27 million, we spent 18 million. With incentives, we had hoped to spend 11, we spent 9. Transfers as indicated, we spent everything. Please note the correction there on the slide. I have corrected on households, leave gratuities, or leave for people who have exited the department. We hadn't planned for it because we will not know when a person is going to leave, so we normally shift money from compensation of employees into the household. It should be minor, the barrier should be minor 66 as opposed to a positive 66. My apologies for that. Payment of capital goods. We had hoped to spend when we did our projections 162, and as indicated in the previous quarter, this is related to our labor paying devices or photocopiers that we now, according to the standards, have to pay from a capitalized as we spend. So we have made an adjustment during the end of the estimate. What are the reasons for underspending or the underperformance in the various categories? Compensation of employees, as indicated previously in the first quarter, we have a sizable number of posts that are still vacant, and we are in the process of analyzing the reorganization of our structure such that the resources that we are asking to bring on board are realigned to the strategic objectives and the revised ATC. Reason to assist the underperformance is mainly due to the accrual and accrual basically services rendered but not yet paid or invoices not yet received for services that have been rendered that we were waiting for invoices on. For our office accommodation, we resulted in the DPI campus and dealing at times takes a while. We follow up and we have received the invoices though in October. Prepayments made in line with the MOU. We spoke in the previous period about the 5.5 prepayment that was made to Grand Estate that still are not accounted for. In one of the larger slides is that we, DG and I have decided we will try and involve Treasury in trying to assist us to get Grand Estate to account for the 5.5. And I've already spoken to the capital finance leases where we are overspending, that we will be shifting money from goods and services to ensure that we don't overspend in that particular category. Speaking to administration as a program, we had, as indicated, overspend by 450,000. The spending according to classification, compensation of employees, we had hoped to spend 10.5. we spent 9.7 million. Gujian Texas, we had hoped to spend 8.5 million, we spent 8.8. Households, this would be our LIBRA's duties as well. We hadn't planned just to pay anybody any credit, but we ended up paying for 46,000. Payment of capital goods, which is mainly our LIBRA saving devices. We had hoped to spend, when we did our capital projections in February 2014, 162. We only have 676, we have spent 674. The reason for the overspend in goods and services, as indicated, we have, I think I've already said, in the previous period we had an underspend because we hadn't paid for the invoices in the first quarter, but we had been awaiting from the DTI, including Block G, which is not the DTI. We get the invoice from the DTI, but it seems like there's still, because the block that we are in, it's a very complicated contract that was signed by FIFA. It's still under FIFA day, so FIFA gets the bill, they pay, they build the DTI, get that payment, DTI then builds up. So it goes through three processes. And I have tried to get the CFO, the DTI, to see if we cannot resolve the issue because unfortunately some of the facilities are getting involved in because they're busy renewing the contract and they're looking at the different structure of the particular contract. So unfortunately we'll always have a lag, especially with Block G in terms of getting the invoices on time. So we have to pay them in this quarter and the overspend. Household transfers, I have said previously that you have these credits that you unfortunately cannot plan who you're going to pay leave out, and you use the generated savings in that account to shift down into the transfers to households related to credit. And capital expenditure that relates to the labor saving grants that are now classified as finance lease and are paid in capital, we have adapted in our deficit payments to offset that overspending. Economic policy, our first core project program, has underspent by 2.6 or 2.7 million. Compensation of employees, we had hoped to spend 4.6, we spent 2.4. Goods and services, we had hoped to spend 9.3, we've only spent 1.1 in the quarter. We also had leave payouts for people who exited the department and 41,000 on the labor saving devices as well. Performance under economic planning and coordination, we had hoped of our baseline allocation to spend 11.2, we spent 4.4. We have transferred all the transfers that we needed to make to NGPs. Compensation of employees, we had hoped to spend 9.3. We only spent 3.7 million of that. Business services, we had hoped to spend about 2 million. We could only spend 5.2. Transferred everything was as expected. Households, LIBRA credit 17, and labor saving devices 64,000. Economic development and social dialogue, which is our last core program. We had also spent 3.7, we spent 2.2. Compensation of employees, we had hoped to pay 2.8 million, we spent only 1.9. Food and services, we had hoped to spend 91,000, we only spent 266. Labor saving devices, there were no credit paid out of this program. Labor saving devices, we spent 18,000. And by now, I'm certain the committee is well aware that we do have vacancies in the department, and the understanding correlates with the number of posts that we have. The amount of money that we have otherwise spent in relation to posts has actually also indicated that the lower spending in operational expenditure that we're carrying in the department. We are hoping that spending will improve as the right ATP is gathering steam. I have
spoken to the approvals for Block G accommodations back at the 5th in October, and I've also spoken to the resource spending during the quarter in the core program, as we are still gathering momentum in implementing the revised ACP. We're hoping spending will improve at a slower pace. We're also hoping to add on our software in social economic policy development that's required for analysis that will be expected to cost about 360,000 that should be bought in the quarter. Either this quarter, the delivery is expected to happen in the following months or January. Chairperson asked about the concern that has been raised and is now and has also been raised by the Standing Committee on Appropriations around the environment, that the TMA says when you do environment, 1643 should not exceed 8%. But then again, it says if you do, you exceed the 8%, legislation has to approve any that exceeds the 8%. And that also included in the technical guidelines that we get from the National Cabinet. I think it's page 9 of the guidelines that you can see. It makes room for, and this is the only time that we can exceed. Bring us as a department that depend on both the funds for allocation, the 8%. The 8% is approved by the accounting officer or the delegated officer with a notification or a report being provided outside of the 7 days of having implemented the government. But if it's beyond that, Treasury does not have the mandate to approve, hence it has to go to the legislature for approval, as well as making that. What we are saying is that for quarter two, the realized savings that we have, we will have the proposals that we reprioritize 1.6 million of that to the innovative building technology project that is being undertaken by the FIR. We started this relationship with FIR in the 2014 financial year. The plan, suggestion was that once the report came or the findings came, line function departments would then in their own areas come there with page 2, which is the pilot phase. What has come up is that departments have been budgeted for this particular item, understandably so, because we went the approach of departments around, I think around December or so, I can't remember specifically, so that then they make room for the required additional funding. So in the absence of that, it was deemed that EDD should reprioritize internally to not solve the project, but rather redirect funding towards the stage two of this project. And the projections that we did on our personnel, our EME, which is 156 was 107. As of the beginning of April, we had 136 people. As of September, we were 116. So we did our projections based on the reality that we had on the ground for the remainder of the 7 months. And the projections that we realized was that we could actually, if we didn't reprioritize funding, end up with at least 30 million from compensation of employees that would have been a surplus at the end of the financial year. And also keeping in mind the fact that we were well aware that FIFA had been cut by 60 million from the donor funded 100 million, 250. We had already given the 15 at the end of the financial year, 2014. And we had then proposed that we also give an additional 22 million to FIFA to support the competitive and support package that had been cut. So a submission now is into National Treasury, and that's when we were able to then include the 26 into our adjusted FBA. That's part of what the legislature has to approve, because yes, it's 8%, that's a lot of it. We've also had to cater for the what you call 30% of the 1% same budget that has to go to King Peter. So that we didn't have the line items in our budget at the beginning of the financial year, because we got notification from Treasury around September to transfer this money to Peter. We got approval from Treasury and we introduced that line as a new transfer. We still have it here, the 5.5 million that I spoke to. We also have invoices that we received that has not been processed that amounted to 1.3. And the last issue is for us to make sure that the agency fill in physical cohort for us to be able to achieve the KPIs that we have surpassed. What you do not have said as an adjusting included the last slide that shows the revamped budget as it has been adjusted as the that increases the compensation of employees from 17 to 76, which then said it's a slight increase from 52 to 54, and transfers have increasing from 534 to 560, the 76 that I spoke to, and capital expenditure increasing from 2.2 to increasing from 2.2 to 4 million to accommodate the payment of the rented water cost yet and cell phone cost in Chicago.
Thank you. I'll just give a piece of principle here. CFO, I think the amount you're talking to now, that's a very important slide that you want me to see. It's a very important slide that you could have sent us. And I know that during your first quarter discussion, we had five heated discussions around the issues financial. And one expected, you know, some of the things to come out. I remember we did ask about the 8% issue in terms of the environment, and we were assured that that is not going to take place. I'm just surprised that now, when we look at the E&E now, when we look at the adjusted estimates, you find that they are the environment that we were not privy to. And, you know, because the principal matter here is that we as the committee need to know about the things before they become, you know, public. Because we need to either support you or not support you during this process of adjustment. But my worry is that you've been called directly to deliberate on the matters related to this. And one of the issues is around transfers to one of the public entities, which is something that I'm not too sure, because we were only briefed about the 15 million. Was it 15 million? Yes. The 15 million. In the 13-14, but in the first quarter we were not told that there was, for instance, a shortage in terms of that. I don't remember that. But then when we talked of the accruals also, because we did, I remember I asked questions around the accruals so that it become also open to us on the issues of accruals. I'm highlighting some of these things so that I can just remind ourselves as to where we come from. We were concerned about the vacant hopes and whether you were going to be able to meet up the amount budgeted for. You're going to use up the amount budgeted for. And we were told that the amount is going to be utilized in the coming quarters. We are told that the amounts are going to shift to other programs. It surprises when we look at the adjusted documents, then we find that monies have been shifted, and mainly from the compensation of employees, because if you look at that, it's more or less about 38.8 million. Yeah, but when you look at what goods and services, it's related to compensation. It is related to compensation. So in general, it's 38%. My worry is this is quite a huge percentage that we didn't even have, like, just give us a slight indication as to what was going to happen during the adjustment. Because if we have transparent with us, we are able also to be helped. Because we kept on saying there's no way that you're going to spend that money. And you kept on assuring us that no, come the thing we will be. We have plans to spend because we're still waiting on our kind of grant. Whereas using the money somewhere else, to me, I don't think that's been fair to us in terms of issues of transparency. We are not satisfied that principle of transparency. I'm sorry that I had the time to lead in terms of talking to the issues without my members really coming to. But this is just something that I'm just not satisfied with as the leader of the issue. And I think it's something that needs to be corrected going forward. And whether we will be expected as this team to support that, because even the appropriations cannot tell us that they are going to take a decision without our input. So we need to understand things even better than they understand, because we are the ones overseeing the department. So a priority should be given to us, not to SCOA. So that you become transparent to us, not that we hear issues when we come to the appropriation issues. It should be a continuous thing, that this is what we are expected to do. Because then it becomes a issue of compliance, depending on who you comply to. Comply with those that have a larger stick, or do you comply with those that you are supposed to be complying with according to the law. That's something else, and I really need you to look into that seriously, because I don't think next time we will tolerate it. Can I then open for members?
Thank you very much, Chair. First of all, I just want to support you all and everything that you've said. I share those concerns, and I think that is absolutely valid remarks that you've made, so support you 100% in that. But I'd say, if I look at the financial reports and the figures that have been given us, then I must really say there's a lot of concern in terms of spending. First of all, you know, if you look at the administration, it's overspent, and yes, we have got the explanations of that, but here, that's exactly one of the reasons why I've asked whether there are targets, because you cannot go and overspend on administration, but those where your core functions are, that you are underspent. And if you look at the rest, if you take out the transfers, and even if you go so far as to take out the capital goods and services, because I understand you have to capitalize that in the beginning, and obviously it will spread out over the year, so it will, you know, become less of a dominant factor overspent over the course of the financial year. But if you look at the rest, economic planning and coordination, the baseline, socio-economic development, social dialogue, economic policy development, those are the core functions of this department. And if you look at those spendings, then you know, then one's really ask questions about the KPIs. Because you cannot report on KPIs, and it sounds very good. But if you look at the budget, you see you haven't spent money. So how do you bring that together? You know? And there should be a direct correlation between your performance in the KPIs and the money that you spend to achieve those KPIs. And I mean, that for me is a concern. And going forward, I think that correlates with also the questions that I've asked about the job driver sectors, and what do we do, and how much have we intervened, how much have we jobs have preserved, how much have we secured in extra creation of jobs and economic growth. So DiEM, that correlates 100% with that. I picked up just two, maybe for me it's not in line with each other. If you look at the administration program, you look at goods and services, and you look, if you go to the previous one, where the experience of participation, and you see, look at goods and services, you would say that the reason for the goods and services accrual. But if you look at the very next one, administration, then for some other reason, goods and services, it's because it seems like there was not accruals. So why was the accruals made? Because the previous one said goods and services accruals, services rendered but not yet invoiced as at 30 September. Office accommodation, I want to understand that. The next one, it says goods and services payment of office accommodation, invoices received in September, but for the previous quarter. So why was it not provided or accrual at that stage? So for the one there's an accrual, for the other one, in the other case there was not accruals. So maybe you can just explain that, because it deals basically with the same things, office accommodation. And it just sounds to me a bit contradictory. The one case you have provided, in terms of accruals, the other one you haven't provided, so now, you know, retroactively you basically show that as an offence. That just is a bit of an anomaly to me. Now, Madam Chair, I mean, as I said, I mean, besides the transfers that was done and the payment of capital goods, the rest is a huge concern, and I mean, that is where we need to turn around, because that is where we need to produce and score, and that must be related, that correlates to our pay here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Obviously, Chair, you know, we must register concern and to a certain degree some disappointment, because what you see impacts negatively on the presentation that the GM just made. Because if you don't spend what you have, it creates the impression that what you are seeing on the other side may not necessarily be exactly that. I think, Chairperson, there is a need here for the DM, the Minister, to look at this matter differently and try and check whether they need to take certain decisions. Perhaps they need to strengthen the department as well that deals with this matter of finances and so on. Because I think some concern has been registered previously that work should improve. And indeed, it should improve, because this is the area from where your strength is measured, how you deal with the finances and so on. So I think, Chairperson, we must indicate here that this is not good enough. I think the GM and the rest of the team, they themselves, they're aware that we cannot be happy with this type of one. But I think that the small request that one can make here, Chairperson, is that perhaps the GM, the leader of the team, should try and ensure that in the future we don't have to deal with a report of this nature, because a report of this nature exposes all of us. It exposes all of us to say certain things that are not done
correctly, despite what the Auditor General said in the first week or two, to do certain things that are not right. So we just want to make that request, and perhaps the team should go and look into this area with the rest of the team and see what is it that can be done, so that we're not confronted with this issue in future. We don't necessarily, you know, undermine everything that is being done, but we say, if for instance you have this type of performance that says you are unable to spend, see, if people say you have overspent, it's another mess. If you are unable to spend what you have, and you send some wrong signals. So we just wanted to express that. But we are still optimistic, of course, that they'll be able to look into the matter and clear it up, so that the next time when we meet, we'll not necessarily be looking at the serious affair.
I don't know why was the software for program on economic development and dialogue only approved around October. Because this was minus 360,000 as a whole year, started in February until October, that's when it is approved. And that caused the variance. It's a challenge, GM. You know, some of the things are very, just the issues the general was talking about, issues of the improvement of and strengthening of the management in the department. I mean, if for instance things take that long to be approved, it should be known that there are certain things that we need them during the course of the year. It's already October, December, to start doing such important. It's like once the policy said, policy development is very important. It actually forms the core of the department's work. And there's no way that you could even have that likelihood of not doing what is supposed to be done in that regard. And I'm worried that we're dealing with financial issues and what we call understanding on compensation of employees in the midst of the decision that we've taken of not paying managers on acting projects for over 6 months. It says that money you owe to them is the one that unfortunately was violated to other programs. It's also illegal, because those are the questions that you need to. And as far as I'm concerned, we took a decision to this regard that we cannot condone you breaking the law. People need to be paid their money. They were acting. There's no way that you can come up with that kind of thing. So it means, therefore, that those monies need to be budgeted for, so that people on acting positions should know that they need to be paid. And as legislators at all, we can't make laws and then overturn those laws again. It cannot be. That we're not compromising. Whether the money was violated to other programs, it needs to come back so that they get paid. I think that is one area that is going also to reduce percentage. Unfortunately, it's in the books, but at the final books of Treasury, it has to be shown that this money has been somehow different. I think the department must begin to work according to books. And things have to apply, you know, in a very consistent manner. When I say that, I mean that. In a very consistent manner. So that as you tell us this, you also tell them that I can say. We don't want opportunistic, you know,
presence and presentation just for teaching the book purposes. I think that's one thing that nobody can be happy about. We want things, we want people to be open, to be honest, be transparent with and non-economic with information. We want things to come so that we, because as we are here, we take a lot of effort, a lot of energy, time to talk on the issues you present before us. And I thought if we have to do that, we have also to afford us that respect and give us what supposed to be given to us. I have a sense that there's a lot, you know, below this, but it's not coming forth. I don't know, but maybe as time goes on, we'll be able to get that. But I want to be together with this team I'm heading, or I'm leading, to be assured that this type of things are not going to be repeated. And where there are challenges, that's why we have this relationship. So far, the relationship has been very cordial. Before, we were not that robust when it comes to financials. We were just taking as we were giving us, because we took it that we're still establishing yourself, still getting this and that. But this, on the first quarter reporting, you assured us that you're going to be revising the organogram, you're going to be revising the strategic plan. And vision means that you're going to be doing things differently. And you are told by the DM that you are now specifically assigned responsibility to deal with the internal arrangement issues. And I think all of us are happy that this is finally being attended to. And I think we can't be on the second quarter then still finding these issues, and yet we're not getting finalization in terms of the renewal of the threat plan and also the renewal of the organogram. Because the reason why we accepted the review in terms of the KPIs without supporting threat plan and organogram is because we were told that working on it. And we said we needed you to give us the timelines, the timelines, and you committed to that. And we said it's fine. But in the meantime, you must work within. And by that we didn't mean you should then cross the boundary. We didn't mean that. We meant that when you are working on the overall stretch plan that will then be supported by the very same KPIs that you're giving us, you will also be working on how you align that to your overall strategic plan. So I really would want us to look into that, because we did raise some of these issues, and it's not that we didn't raise them. I'm really not happy with this. And I think also anybody looking at this ask, well, how did this pass the portfolio committee if really they are doing their work? Like colleague Glenn is saying, really have on us on our work. That's coming. And it's not, I don't think it's a good story to tell this one. You must close your ESPA. Mm-hmm. So can we really, so far we've been doing both, it's just that we need to align this one. Can we give it over to you, dear?
No, thanks, Chair. Yes, it's work in progress, and when we say we are fixing things, we should be able to know also the other areas that we're heading in. I think we're over the last for September to finish up our organogram, and the fact that we didn't have that, the CFO was hard on us, I must say. We had to admit on the processes that the next processes will not be able to give us what we have to give me to say in the not able to spend this money or for our country. If you look at the challenge that we're speaking of is online.
project at 1896, and even when we interrogated where does it come from, we just got the relationship. But with the minister, we were committed to that, to making sure that we really meet the next promise that I unfortunately, we are now convinced that the amount that we have agreed that this one you can't count that this is we are going to reach rather in another area. That one won't unfortunately won't be able to recover to recover that. But what the committee raised is we have accepted that we still assure you that we are going to conclude this.
You hold extra planning session with the manager, wherein every manager will have to give, make an input, and then raise self identity relevant for the people.
Yes, that's it.
And then you put a structure to, as required to by the CSA, you know, I think. In a structure wherein all managers will have to also input on that structure, give you exactly what are their needs. In terms of instruction, participate in the process.
Yeah, that's we do go through that process, and that might part of the delay of this action is because when the implements, I mean, there are areas where we didn't agree. We didn't agree with all that is specialist to be included to create a difference. So the level of closing that dialogue, it took a little bit longer. We just realized that when we cross the term, we can do that. They were actually held for days now. Can we just frustrate that? That's what we're trying to do. It's unfortunate when we're sometimes you are over here, you think that something you get at a particular time, and it slips on your work. We want to agree with the community. It's here, it's just been on that. We'll be trying to get that there.
And we have feel therefore that we really need to issue and we give it to it's unfortunate that I have already eaten up from the many times see that we eat before the food.
On the other aspect is the one who adjustment we agree with you. And before we trying we didn't know like I think that we're still learning on our community. We didn't know that how to prevent how to indicate this service. So that's why that slide we're trying to say this is what we are doing with the areas we want to deal with. And it was in the international
I think the process towards adjustment DM went even before and beyond after we have interacted on the first quarter, to be honest. And that's why I'm a bit worried that the information as it is could have been at least highlighted to us before it even went there. Because we did ask about the 8%. We did ask about the 8% environment. I think it was in one of the third quarter. I can't recall what was it about. You remember when we asked? Exactly. So that's my worry, and then we get an alternative result. And I was part of treasure before, you were part of treasure before. I know CFOs can found you know, wanting when it comes to behavior of certain people that are supposed to be supporting them. Hence, they can be frustrated by everybody in the department and found themselves agreeing to this kind of thing. Just to salvage the situation. But I think really you need to help us, because hence my question skills then, whether do you do monthly reconciliation wherein you allow the CFO to come and present to you the in the monitoring issues that I'm raising to you. So those things would prevent such things happening. And you'll be able then to assist and in addressing some of these things through the relevant channels. I'm having a challenge in that, really understanding any reasons that I'm given here. I really have a problem, and I think every member is ready that. And we will request that you work on that. We'll be coming with you to the score, we'll be there, and we want to that the select committee on appropriations will be there with you. We just want to know, to see what's happening. Because ultimately, I think a question is going to be asked, and unfortunately, through that, you might see yourself appearing before the court for the first time. And something that we could have assisted in that case if you had done another transition. So, can I, with those words, not allow the CFO to respond? I know I'm being unfair. Can you allow me to do so? Once in my lifetime. I know this response will come at another time. We will demand a painful response. But for now, because I'm being a first member too, can we agree that we really come to an end of the meeting? But before then, thank you very much for the information. I'm hoping that we will work on the issues that have been highlighted. We are still hoping that the ITEC amendment bill will still be coming, if we can be given actual date, because we have from time to time also to report on this issue to our service. So if you can have, give us an indication of when you prefer something. Otherwise, colleagues, thank you very much for your attendance and your participation.